All right, how y'all doing this evening?
That's good. Praise the Lord.
Well, good to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "You Are My All in All." You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus. My shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God. sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Take us to live in your home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? I have one if nobody's got one off the top of their head. I got to look it up, though. Okay, here we go. 157, The Love of God. I had to find it first. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
A little challenging. Praise the Lord. Any more? Going once, going twice?
What number was that?
157, The Love of God. I remember Miss Karen sing it years ago. Yep.
Hello, hello, everybody. Got a few of you online and a few of you here. That's good. A few and a few makes a few more. Amen. Few and a few makes a few more. All right. Good to see everybody today. Hopefully you got some rain on your yards and you didn't get any hailstorms or tornadoes your way. And, man, it was good to have that rain, though. Amen. We got caught up. I think we got another big rainstorm coming in about a week. Say it's going to be a pretty challenging rainstorm. So, all right. What kind of...
A week away.
Yeah, going to have good weather for about 5 days for you. All right. What do we have? Praises, testimonies.
I do got a praise.
Yeah.
We're talking about tornadoes. They had one in Madisonville.
That's right.
And
you got a mic up.
Oh, I got a mic up. Okay.
Madisonville tornado.
Madisonville, my brother-in-law, Kathy's brother, tornado hit in Madisonville, and just barely missed his house, knocked some wood off his house. But
wow.
From three houses down, it tore everything up.
Three houses down,
yeah,
it took the house.
Funny how that.
Oh, man.
Oh, their house shook.
Yeah.
And he was outside, and he wants to watch the storm come in, right? And he's watching that lightning and all that kind of stuff.
This
is
Kathy's brother.
Yeah, yeah. Big old boy, he sat up front porch, and he said he got real still. Nothing happening. And all of a sudden, the wind started blowing again, right?
Yeah.
Well, he said, I better get in the house. But you know what? He couldn't open his door. That's pressure.
Oh, my soul.
Yeah, that tornado, that pressure, he couldn't open the door.
Oh, my goodness.
He had to jerk that. Boy, I bet he don't do that again. Anyway, they got lucky, and praise the Lord on that. And I got another praise. John helped me with my house. I'm working on my house, right?
Amen.
In the bathroom. And
yeah.
I was putting the thing with the drain down there where the water goes out. I was putting a new thing in. So I got me a tool.
Right.
And it was stuck, you know.
Oh, no.
So I just did, you know, that's what, you know, you watch YouTube, right? And it's what they say, do. So I did it, and it broke.
Uh-oh.
I said, I got it, right? I said, I got it. It's coming out. And I kept turning and turning and turning and turning. It wasn't coming out. So I went to that little back door back there, and I broke the drain. I thought, man, I might tear off the tile out, man. I'm going crazy here. But anyway, John was down the road. I said, John, I got a problem. I sent him a picture and all that. And he was right down the road. He come over, and we looked at it. He got me fixed up, but, boy, I was panicking.
Got your new drain put in.
Yeah, I got it done.
Yeah,
I had to do all that back part.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't all. Monday night, I was supposed to do. I was supposed to come here and do Bible study Monday night. I was going to do the Bible study.
Yeah.
Men's Bible study. And I'm still working on the other bathroom, you know, the guest bathroom.
Right.
So I'm putting a new faucet face on and the little washer things in. Anyway, I'm running out of time. So I twisted little things on. I thought I did. Anyway, I didn't put the right thing on. I turned the water on and everything blowed out of the faucet. He didn't have nothing to do with that. But, man, a welder ain't got no business doing no plumbing. I'm telling you. Anyway, praise the Lord. I got it back. Fixed
Amen.
Up. And I just thank God, you know, he's helped me through all this. But, boy,
Amen.
I've had a heck of a week, man.
Amen, brother.
That's all my praises, man.
All right.
Amen.
And
thank you, Jesus.
Kathy's brother and that, sister-in-law?
Yeah, sister-in-law and their mother-in-law lived.
Oh, wow.
They got in the closet. They were smart.
Yeah.
Now, Ricky wasn't. He was outside, you know. He learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's my time. I'm finished.
Spared
talking.
In Madisonville. Anybody else?
I have a praise also very similar to James's.
Okay.
My daughter, she lives in Pflugerville.
Right.
Well, she was on her way home with her son from the day of the storm, and she was trying to get home, and she normally takes the towway, but this time she didn't. She reared off and had to go, and all of a sudden, like, there was blue skies, you know, and then, you know, it's like it was a calm of the storm, and then and all of a sudden, all the wind and everything, but and then traffic came to a stop because something happened up front, and when she couldn't really tell, she's trying to get all the way around. Bottom line is, that's when the storms are hitting Round Rock and Pflugerville, back to back.
Wow.
There. So I told her, I said, well, God takes care of his children somehow, some way. And I said, praise Jesus. And
Amen.
She agreed.
So she was spared in the storms. They were stuck on the road. That's good. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise or testimony? Anything online? Praise or testimony? All right. Prayer requests. We certainly want to pray for those that suffered loss in the storm.
Yeah.
If you saw that, goodness, there was a young man, I think a teenager, lost his life in New Orleans in a truck outside his house, and the tornado picked his truck up and wrapped it around a tree and took his house, the house he lived in, picked his house up off the pier and beam foundation and took it down about two houses down and destroyed it.
Wow.
But then you certainly saw, hopefully you've seen on the news, I can't remember exactly where at in Texas he was, but it was another teenager in a pickup truck, and it turned his truck over, flipped it over, 360 degrees, righted it back up, and that boy drove off.
It's a miracle. You know, praise the Lord on that. And they said that's going to be the new Chevrolet commercial because of the Chevrolet.
Yeah. You can't keep a Chevrolet down long, can you?
Right,
that sucker's back up.
He flipped it and drove it off, man.
He drove that sucker off. I can't.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
man,
the Lord.
He's a lucky man.
That young man lived through it, and then the one in New Orleans, bless his heart, he didn't. So we want to pray for those that lost, you know, families that lost loved ones. And,
amen.
And
could have been worse.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for the technology and preempting.
Right. Amen for that. Storm victims all across the south here. All right. Other prayer needs. We'll continue to pray for Ukraine.
Yes, sir.
People in Ukraine. And pray for NATO, our president going to Europe. I think he's probably already there. And his press secretary came down with COVID, so she didn't get to go, that Jan Psaki lady. So bless her heart. I hope she gets well soon. Jan Psaki. So pray for Jan Psaki's healing. Let's see here, NATO president. What else? Prayer needs. Yes, sir. Go on.
Nancy asked me to pray for
Ronnie.
Her and Ronnie.
Okay.
And also she mentioned a unspoken too.
Okay.
All right.
Ronnie had a birthday?
Ronnie Coleman has a birthday
Sunday. Okay, amen. On Sunday. All right, way to go, Ronnie. All right. Happy birthday, Ronnie. Happy early birthday. Got you first. Happy early birthday.
Happy birthday, Ronnie. Yeah. Amen.
And happy we'll birthday. Sing it to you on Sunday, Ronnie. We'll sing you happy birthday on Sunday. All right. Amen. Very good. What else? What else?
Johnny Hyman. Yeah. Johnny Hyman.
Hyman.
Yeah. You know, just recouping from that COVID. He's still struggling with that breathing and stuff.
It's Sakura's son.
Yes, sir. I said the name right. I don't know.
Hello, Miss Sakura. Good to see you tonight. Yeah, I know she's watching. Amen. Yeah, Miss Sakura.
Yeah.
Coro, very good. All right. What else? Anything else?
Pray for Peggy. I'm sure she might be watching us tonight. Peggy.
Peggy Murray.
Yeah, Peggy Murray. Yeah, lift her up to you.
All right.
Yeah. All are shut in.
Peggy Murray. Her cat Sam. She's got a good cat named Sam.
Amen.
Sam's a good cat. He sleeps a lot. All right, very good. What else? Anything else? All right. Very good. Those of you with unspoken, say amen. Very good. Okay, unspoken. All right, well, let's get on down the road. We'll lift these things up, and we'll get on into our Bible study tonight, shall we? Amen? All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can gather in your name, sing praises to your name, Lord. Worship you tonight. We praise you and thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to be your children, to be saved, Lord, to be the church. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, what you're doing for us. Lord, we especially pray how you protected us during the storm. Lord, we praise you for that. We praise you for these testimonies of being spared in this storm. Alita's daughter and Kathy's brother and sister-in-law, Lord, there in Madisonville, and Alita's daughter there in Pflugerville and Round Rock. We thank you, Lord, that you spared our loved ones. Lord, we praise you that you helped old James get through, or you're helping him get through these home improvement projects. And Lord, just give him the patience that passes all understanding as he tries to tackle these things and get them done. And Lord, thank you for men and people that we know from YouTube to Brother John that can help us with these things and get us lined out and back working again, Lord. So we just give you praise and glory for that. Lord, we praise you that we live in a free country. We praise you tonight, Lord, that we can worship how we believe the Bible leads us to worship you and praise you and be in your word. We can Bible study without fear, God. We can assemble together without fear of being persecuted. So we just praise you for that tonight. But Lord, we do, as we come to you tonight thinking about these prayer requests, we want to pray for these storm victims, Lord. Those that lost everything in the storm, those whose homes were damaged beyond repair, those whose homes' roofs were ripped off. We'll pray for the different school districts across the South, Lord, who lost schools in this, and certainly there were churches that were damaged, Lord, along with businesses. Father God, we just pray that FEMA would step in, disasters would be declared, and Lord, federal aid would be able to begin to roll that way and help these people put their lives back together. Lord, we pray for those that lost, families that lost loved ones in the midst of all this storms that we've had thus far. Pray that you would comfort them and help them during this time of loss and see them through. Lord, we lift up the Ukrainian people and the country of Ukraine. We pray a hedge of protection around them. We pray for those Christians, Lord, that in the midst of all this war and mayhem and death and struggle, that, Lord, they would be bold to witness for you and to point people to Christ in the midst of all this as they're passing weapons or handing off Molotov cocktails or whatever it may be, God. We just pray that they would be your voice in the midst of all this death and mayhem. And, Lord, out of all this tragedy, we pray that Ukrainians and even some Russians would get saved in the midst of all this, and glory would be given to you, and praise would be given to you. We pray that the war in Ukraine would come to an end, and we pray that the Russian military, Lord, would somehow, some way, leave that sovereign country alone and go back behind their border and do what they need to do. But, Lord, leave Ukraine alone. Lord, we lift up Nancy and Ronnie to you tonight. We pray a special prayer for Ronnie. We pray you touch his body and bring healing to him. And, Lord, be with Nancy as she cares for Ronnie. And, Lord, just watch over them as they go to the different doctor's appointments and do the different things they have to do for Ronnie. Lord, we just pray you watch over them and help them. We continue to pray for Johnny Hyman, Lord. We pray for his lungs, and we pray that you help him with his breathing, Lord. And we pray you just strengthen him each and every day. And, Lord, we just pray that those lungs would eventually come back and that he would have full use and full capacity from his lung function. And, Lord, we know what the doctors say, but the doctors are not you. And so we come into you asking you to touch this man. And we know he'd give you the praise and the glory. Lord, he would testify you touching him and bringing healing to that part of his body, Lord. So we just pray that that might happen for him. We lift up Miss Sakura to you, Lord. We pray you strengthen her as she prays for her family there and does so much for the church through cards and encouragement and all that she does, Lord. Keep her encouraged. And then, Lord, we pray for all of our shut-ins, Peggy Murray and others, Lord, that want to be here for whatever reason, can't get here, Lord, and are just struggling with the issue of coming to church. We lift them up to you tonight and pray that you encourage them in their hearts and their spirits. And, Lord, we look forward to a time when we can meet with them in person. So, Lord, we lift them up to you. And, Lord, as we think about these unspokens, we're thankful that we can voice these to you privately, Lord, and that you hear us. And, Lord, where we just are confused, don't know how to pray, make intercession, Lord, we know that you take our groanings and our yearnings, Lord, and you intercede on behalf for us. And so we just praise you for that tonight. For standing in the gap for us as we think about these unspokens, as we struggle with them, carrying them another day or another week or another month. Lord, we just pray that you hear them and that you comfort us in the midst of these things and help us as we go forward in our own lives thinking about these unspokens. We praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to it and that we might receive the truth as we get into it this evening. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 19. We'll continue on in this series of messages on the book of Revelation. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Revelation chapter 19, we'll begin reading here in verse 7, and we'll take it through verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 7, take it through 10. Those of you with us online, good to have you. We're in Revelation 19. Beginning in verse 7, and we'll take it here through verse 10. Everybody found that? Amen? Yes, yes. The Word of God reads, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' He said to me, 'These are true words of God.' Then I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, 'Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" We'll get to that on Sunday night. But thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, as we kind of begin and kind of review a little bit, because it's been a few days since we've looked at this, we ask the question, I want you to think about it. What can we say about marriage and the Bible? What can we say about marriage in the Bible? Think about marriage in the Bible. Think about how often you've seen marriage in the Bible. The imagery of marriage is used frequently in Scripture. A marriage was the single greatest celebration and social event of the biblical world. I mean, marriages were the marriages were bigger than March Madness. Bigger than NASCAR, amen? Bigger than the Super Bowl. I mean, they were it. Wedding preparations and celebrations in ancient times were even more elaborate and involved than those of today. And we can say this with most certainty. They lasted a whole lot longer. They lasted a whole lot longer. The wedding venue where Aubrey and Zachary got married, I officiated their wedding. It's right around the corner from the house over there by Jurgens Park. I'm blank on the name. Ella's wedding venue or something like that. Anyway, that lady was so gracious to us. We were trying to plan an outdoor wedding for Aubrey over here in Zachary's parents' house. They live on 5 acres down here off the Nickel Sawmill and heading that direction, about 20 minutes away from here. And I don't know if you remember, it was just torrential rain. It had been raining. It was going to rain. It rained the day of her wedding. I mean, there was no outdoor, you could do no outdoor wedding. If you want to get married on the day, you're going to get married indoors, right? And so last minute, this lady opened up the venue and was just gracious to us and helped us out. It was just incredible. Well, since then, I made the comment, you know, hey, you ever need anything, you know, you let me know. Well, she's asked me a couple of times, hey, you know, her sons play baseball and her husband normally officiates the weddings, and she's asked me a couple of times, can you officiate, you know, this wedding? And I'm glad to do it. I mean, if it's a man and a woman, amen, right? I get to put some Christian spin on it, amen. I'm all in, right? I mean, you want me to do a funeral, and I, you know, hey, you know who I am. I'm going to put a Christian spin on it. Okay, well, I'm telling you, these kids today. I mean, I thought Aubrey's ceremony was short. These kids today, man, they want it like that. I mean, they want it like that. They quick, amen. So back then, it wasn't like that. Weddings lasted a long, long time. They consisted of three distinct stages, which we covered a week ago Sunday evening on 3:13:22. In Jewish weddings, which are influenced by the East, there were typically three major stages of the Jewish wedding. There was the betrothal stage, or you could call that the contract stage. Then there was the presentation stage. You could call that the consummation stage. And then there is the festival stage, or you could refer to that as the celebration stage. First was the betrothal or engagement. And when we say that, we come to the conclusion where our brains make the jump pretty quick. We understand this to mean arranged marriages, and that's what we're talking about. A typical betrothal was an arrangement by both sets of parents contracting the marriage of their children. And a betrothal, a contract, was legally binding and could only be broken by divorce. Now we get to the first part of Matthew chapter 1, 18 and 19, when Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. That's what he was going to do. He was going to secretly divorce her so she wouldn't come under any kind of shame or consequences for being with child before they consummated their marriage. We know that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and all that. She carried Jesus, born of a virgin. Amen? But a betrothal contract was often signed long before the children reached the marriageable age. Get this now. You married early, right? The marriageable age of 13 or 14, right? Now, that's pretty early. I don't know if I was ready to be married at 13 or 14. When did you and Kathy get married? 15, 16? Yeah. Close. 15, 16. Yeah, but you made it. You tell your testimony. Yeah. The Bible tells, well, I mean, you know, think about it. You know, people didn't live as long, right? You know, there wasn't as many distractions to life. You know, the girls learned how to work a house, and the boys, they learned how to work a trade, and, you know, so, hey, it's time to get married, 13 or 14, let's get on down the road. Your life expectancy ain't going to be no 110, 120, you might as well get on down the road with life, amen? A betrothal contract was often signed before the children reached that marriageable age of 13 or 14. The Bible tells us we have been betrothed to Christ, and the question is, when and how was our marriage contract signed? Well, first let's think about our betrothal. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says, "For I'm a jealous God for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." So as we think about our betrothal, when did our betrothal happen? The church's betrothal contract was signed in eternity past when the Father promised the Son a redeemed people. And guess where our contract is? It's the book of life. The book of life. That is our betrothal contract. When our names are written in the book of life, we've been betrothed to Christ. Amen? Since a marriage represented the union of two families, it was natural for the parents to be involved. And there were years of preparation for the time of marriage as the boy prepared for his bride. Now, the Bible also speaks of our presentation, which would be the consummation. The second stage of a wedding, the presentation, was a time of festivities just before the actual ceremony of the vows. Those festivities could last up to a week or more, depending on the economic and the social status of the bride and groom. 7 days would be about the minimum. It went a whole lot longer, depending on the economic status. What do we need to know when we think about the presentation? The Apostle Paul described the church's presentation. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, did I say that right? Yeah, 25 through 27. So if you want to take your Bibles and flip on over to Ephesians, we'll find that right quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Ephesians 5, you know the passage. We always key on the our marriage, but this Ephesians 5 is our own personal marriages, but this Ephesians 5 really speaks of the marriage of the church. Ephesians 5, 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her," verse 26, "so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word," verse 27, "that he might," there it is, "that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Amen? Right? Another passage to think about when we think about being presented, John 14, verses 2 through 3, one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 14, 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many," your Bible may say mansions, my Bible says dwelling places. The point is, everybody's got a place. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." That's what the husband-to-be would do. "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In the imagery of an ancient wedding, the rapture, this is the beauty of the rapture, the rapture marks the time when the bridegroom, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, takes his bride to his Father's house. The rapture. During the tribulation that we have covered extensively, the raptured church will be presented in heaven. But at the end of those 7 years, which is where we're coming to in Revelation chapter 19, at the end of those 7 years of joyous fellowship and wonderful celebration, the time will come for the wedding ceremony, the marriage of the Lamb. And that celebration of the union of the bridegroom and the bride is marked by this great, humongous, gigantic, incredible supper. It's going to be awesome. So let's recap where we began all the way back in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. I won't go back and read that those verses, but just give you the recap here. Let's recap all the way back to Revelation 19, 1, on through where we ended on March 13th, a Sunday a week ago. The entire heavenly chorus, including angels, verse 1 of 19, the 24 elders, verse 4 of 19, the four living creatures, verse 4, and all the host of the redeemed, verse 5 of Revelation 19, is exhorted, they are encouraged, they are commanded to rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him because all the preparation is complete and the marriage of the Lamb has come. So the church, me and you, betrothed in eternity past, presented in the Father's house since the rapture, something to look forward to, church, amen. The church is now ready for the wedding celebration portion of the ceremony to begin. That ceremony will coincide with the establishment of the millennial kingdom and stretch throughout that thousand-year period to be finally consummated. Where? Where is it going to be consummated? Take your Bibles and go back to Revelation if you're still in Ephesians. And go all the way to Revelation 21. And we'll key on chapter 21 again when we get to Sunday night's Bible study. But 21 here, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God reads in 21, 1 and 2. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband." Now, you're hearing this, you're here watching this and hearing this online, thinking about this, and immediately you may be thinking, how in the world can that all be that you just shared with us? Well, the idea of a thousand-year-long ceremony may seem far-fetched to us right here in 2022, yet a thousand-year-long ceremony is no more difficult than several thousand years of betrothal, is it? I mean, think about it. We must remember, put our brain cells together and think that time is not going to affect us like it does now. Hallelujah. We're going to be outside of that. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4 says, "For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night." A watch in the night was 3 hours long, or four watches to the night watch. 4 3-hour watches. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day." So I want to key back on the outline that I began with you on the 13th, or continued with you on the 13th. We talked about notice the excitement of this supper, verses 7 and 8. And then we talked about the excitement of a completed plan, the excitement of a completed presentation, the excitement of a completed preparation, right? His bride has made herself ready. Verse 7, 19, 7. "Let us rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." We've already mentioned this, but this is kind of a review. Typical Eastern brides, Jewish brides, prepared their own wedding garments, right? I mean, the preparation that we made for Aubrey's wedding garments was finding a wedding dress she liked and trying to negotiate the people selling it down so we could afford it. Amen? So we could, well, will you take this? Do you have a coupon anywhere? I mean, are you running a sale soon? You know what I mean? Right? The wedding dress could be as elaborate or as simple as the bride chose to make it. Usually the dress, we talked about this, just a review here, consisted of two pieces. One, an inner garment called a tunic, and again, an outer garment called a toga. And I think it's basically the same today. There's some undergarments underneath the wedding dress, and so there's several things going on there. You ladies know all that better than I do. But anyway, just trying to make the connection. The bride had the responsibility, the point I'm making, the bride had the responsibility of getting herself ready for the wedding. So again, the application or the question to key on application is here. So what is the application for us to think about when we think about the excitement of a completed preparation? Well, this is it. You and I need to understand that time is a-wasting. Time is a-wasting. And that we are to prepare ourselves, starting today if we've not been. We need to be preparing ourselves for that day that is coming as well. Look at verse 8. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen, notice what it says, is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints. Now, how should we apply verse 8? How should we apply that? Some take verse 8 to imply that how simply or how elaborate we are dressed as individuals who make up the bride of Christ, that may depend on the kind of life we lived while we were here in this world. In other words, it kind of goes back to that Bema seat and talking about rewards. In other words, how righteous did we live before our departure into eternity? Now, there are three basic kinds of righteousness that a person can have. And I'll just take you through those and we'll pretty much be done tonight talking about these things. There are three basic kinds of righteousness that a person can have, righteousness that a person can have. Number one, personal righteousness. That is a righteousness you can produce all by yourself. You produce it all by no Holy Spirit help, no help from God. You produce it all by yourself. Personal righteousness sounds good at first hearing. Oh, personal righteousness, well, there may be something to that. But it really is a form of self-worship, personal righteousness, or self-justification. At the very core of personal righteousness is an evil seed. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 reads this for us. It says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." In our own righteousness, we are literally dressed in rags before the Lord. And this is where I come down on personal righteousness. And there are theologians that certainly disagree, and certainly there would be some that don't get it. But I don't think people that are personally righteous, I don't think righteous on their own merits and on their own works, I don't think those people are at the marriage supper at all. But I think they end up at the white throne judgment. Now, personal righteousness, that's a big, don't want that one. The one you want is provided righteousness. That's imputed righteousness. Amen. Righteousness when you get saved. Provided righteousness. This is the righteousness we are given when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'll give you a couple of verses for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Word of God reads, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf." Amen. Praise God. "So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Imputed righteousness, right? Provided righteousness, right? Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Praise God. That's the righteousness you want. Because if you have that righteousness, imputed righteousness, provided righteousness, you have that second kind of righteousness, not the first kind, not the personal. If you have the imputed, the provided, then you can experience what is called practical righteousness. This is the righteousness we live out each day. We are in this world, but not in our own flesh. We live it out by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live it out by obedience to the Word and the will of God. Practical righteousness refers to how we conduct ourselves, how well we submit to biblical authority, how well we submit to Jesus' lordship over our lives. And He communicates that to us through and through in His Word all the time, how He is our Lord and Savior. Amen. And so how we use the opportunity that the good Lord gives us in the time we have on this earth, how we use our gifts that He's bestowed upon us, how we use the responsibilities and the privileges that we are given as children of God, how we use all that for His glory and honor, for His kingdom. That's practical righteousness. And this practical righteousness speaks of the outer garment or the toga that the rest of the church, the rest of the bride is going to see on us. Now, there are some theologians that call this speculation, but verse 8 says, "In fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the," it says, "of the saints." Yeah. Amen? The righteous acts of the saints. I mean, some theologians would say, "Pastor Steve, you're speculating. You're reading into that." I don't know. I think verse 8 is saying something there to us, right? How well we're dressed at the wedding very well may depend on how well we live here. Amen? And whether you take that in 110% or agree wholeheartedly, you know you need to be living your practical righteousness. Amen? Bottom line, you need to be living your practical righteousness. Amen? All right. Well, we'll close it out there, my friends. We will pick it up back again on Sunday night. We'll try to get... Well, I think we may be able to get through these verses on Sunday night, but we'll see how it goes. Those of you with us online, good to have you. We'll see you back hopefully Sunday morning. And, man, be praying for the service. Amen? Be praying for the service. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Thank you all. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. We thank You that we can find ourselves in the midst of Your Word and seeking to know it and understand it, Lord, not for a position of pride, but, Lord, for a position of worship. We want to worship You, God, and we want to live for You. We want to bring glory and honor to Your name. We want to point people, God. We want to point them to You. Lord, we want to be bearers and testimonies of what the gospel is and what the gospel has done for us and how we've been saved and transformed and new creations and new creatures. And so, Lord, the old has passed away in us and the new has come. And we thank You for that. Lord, continue to lead us on and to help us. And, Lord, we seek to keep a short sin account, Lord, where we've failed You and where we've stumbled. We want to get back up on that horse of practical righteousness. We want to ride that thing for all it's worth. Lord, we want to be a part of that bride and look like we're a part of that bride one day. So, Lord, fill us with Your Spirit and give us a sense of obedience and duty and responsibility. And, Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy when we mess it up and we don't get it right. But we praise You tonight, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this time together. Give us safety as we depart. And Lord, we pray that we'd be able to think tonight as we doze off and into slumber and to rest that it was really good to be in the house of the Lord together. So we praise You for that tonight, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Good night, folks. We'll see you. Ah, wet water.